This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Screen time. The bane, one of them, anyway, of parents everywhere. I mean, you got to get the kids off their phones, right? Because those kids, they just don't get it. How damaging all that online living can be. Well, hang on, because what if you asked teenagers about adolescent digital living to see what they, you know, actually think about it? Researchers at Harvard did just that, and they wrote it all up in a new book called Behind Their Screens, What Teens Are Facing and Adults Are Missing. Emily Weinstein was one of the co-authors. Emily, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So when you're out about town or talking to people or whatever, and they say to you, so what do you do? And you say, I study, teens and screen use. What do they say?
Usually they say, ugh, I know, it's so bad. It's so bad. I'm so glad it didn't exist when I was growing up.
That's so funny because yes, that's the thrust of the book, but it's not the thrust of the book. Those aren't the lessons that you want people to be taken away.
And I think that's why we were so eager to write this book, because we have spent the last few years doing research with more than 3,500 teenagers. And the stories that they were telling us not only stopped us in our tracks, but they made us rethink our own assumptions. And we realized that so much of what adults assume teens are facing or assume it's like to be a teenager today actually misses the mark.
Well, say more about that, right? Because look, my oldest kids are now no longer teenagers, but I got a couple who still are, and I'm reasonably sure that they think that I have no clue.
There's a long list. Cyberbullying, for example. Cyberbullying
yes,
is on a lot of adults' radars, but a lot of what's hard for teens about social dynamics actually falls in the category of more ambiguous or subtle jabs, things that adults wouldn't consider cyberbullying. So teens told us about things like being strategically cropped out of a group photo from a social event, or being the only one in a group picture who doesn't get tagged. Teens told us that they feel like adults really misunderstand that a lot of what's emotionally hard doesn't meet the strict criteria of bullying or the kinds of explicit issues that most adults are worried about.
So as we, well, look, I'm going to get to the social media companies here in a bit, right? Because I do think we have to talk about those just in terms of responsibility. There are a couple of things to talk about just with the teenagers themselves. And number one is, not all digital life is bad, right? I mean, there are some things that kids get from being on their phones that are net positives.
Absolutely. And it is, I think, one of the things that we took away so clearly from doing this research is that this landscape is complicated. If it was all bad for all kids all the time, it would be much easier in some ways to figure out what the interventions would be. And it would just be, okay, let's get these kids off of social media.
Right.
But for some kids, on balance, the positives are so meaningful, whether it's for social connection and support, for learning about things that they really care about, especially during the pandemic. I think so much of this was amplified during a really isolating time.
So there's another thing, actually, that we have to talk about, which is obviously huge, but it strikes differently, right? If you're a teenage girl online versus if you're a teenage boy online, right?
Yeah, and for girls especially, I mean, the idea of being a good friend and what it means to be a good friend, I mean, I think a lot of us think about these gender differences and we immediately go to things like body image, which for sure is a biggie. But there are also other kinds of challenges. The reality of more widespread mental health issues among teens is that teens are seeing posts from others that are crying out for help. And especially if you're an empathetic teen, puzzling over whether and when and how to respond is really hard. We tell a story in the book about a 15-year-old who just watched a classmate's Snapchat post go from a little bit concerning to hinting at suicidal thinking, and then all of a sudden very explicit. And she was behind her phone struggling to figure out what the right move was, whether she should tell someone, who should she tell, what was the right move.
It has to be pointed out here that TikTok and Snapchat and all the rest of them are for-profit enterprises whose very existence depends on the infinite scroll, more time on screen, social sharing, and all of that stuff. How does a 15-year-old girl in Southern California fight that?
Oh, it's too much of a burden for sure on the shoulders of a 15-year-old girl to just regulate their own habits. I think, you know, we talk a lot about ways that adults can be supportive and things that teens can do, but It's just essential that we shift to a place where youth well-being is being consistently prioritized ahead of profits at these companies. And we really need all of the different social media companies, the big players now, but frankly, the new ones that are not yet even on teens' radars, but will become their focal apps over the next year or two. We need to have norms that all of those companies are held to similar standards.
You know, that's a really good point about the ones we don't even know about yet, right? Because this stuff changes so fast.
We are chasing such a moving target, trying to run research in this space. I mean, when we started doing the very first wave of this research, we weren't even talking about TikTok. Of course, now we're talking about TikTok all the time. But over the last few months, we've been talking about Be Real a lot, too. So it's a moving target.
Wow. I don't even know what Be Real is, but something for me to learn. Emily Weinstein and her co-author, Carrie James, their new book is called Behind Their Screens, What Teens Are Facing and Adults Are Missing. Emily, thanks a lot. I really appreciate your time.
Kai, thanks so much for having me.